You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff. If we've never met before, I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. It's so good to gather and worship with everyone today at our 10 a.m. service. I only had to turn a few people away at 8:45, so it wasn't that bad. No, we're super happy that you're here. A special welcome to everyone on the live stream as well. Glad that you can worship with us this morning and that you're inviting us into your home. We're honored to be with you this morning as well. Today we are thrilled because we're starting kind of a short mini-series, our One Day to Feed the World campaign. And we've been mission partners with Convoy of Hope for years. And as you saw in the video, one of the biggest ways that we support Convoy is by dedicating 2 weeks every fall. It always happens in October. And we look at the scriptures and we talk about God's heart for the poor and how we can join him in his mission of transforming all things. And part of this series is an extra offering that we'll gather next week. It's a special offering that we take every fall for Convoy of Hope, and we give 100% of it away. And the concept right in the video, it explained, the concept is simple. We're going to invite you in the next week to take one day and to work for the poor, whatever you would make in one day's wage, to come then and gather that offering together, pool it all together, and give one large check to Convoy of Hope as a church family. Last year, in the midst of COVID and all of the struggles that we all experienced, we set a local church record for our largest offering to Convoy ever. Last year, we gave $85,000 to Convoy of Hope. And the generosity that we display at this church time and time again just always amazes me. And I think it's one of the most special things about our church, actually, the generosity that always stirs within us to care for the poor. I love it because in a lot of ways, generosity and Christianity, they go hand in hand, right? God is so generous with us. He's generous with us in terms of forgiveness and love. His power and presence, he lavishes upon us. And of course, he's generous with us when it comes to provision as well. Our scripture then for this morning goes back to the Old Testament. Right, it's in the Old Testament, and I think it's a great reminder that from the very beginning, from some of the earliest conversations that God had with his people, he was inviting them and calling them to live generously, especially towards those in need. Our passage for this morning, Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 10. This is God speaking to the Israelites. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. Now, if you're just a quick pastoral bit of advice for you, if you're new to reading the Bible, I would encourage you to start somewhere besides Leviticus. The Gospels are a great spot. They're in the New Testament. They recount all the stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I would encourage you to start in the Gospels. Leviticus is a tough one to work your way through it, but the early books of the Bible are still the Bible. It's still the Word of God, and they can be really interesting and beneficial for us today because a lot of these first stories is God interacting with his people and teaching them how to be holy, how to live their best life, and how to live differently than the world around them. You have to remember they were in a very unique context in a unique era, and God was beginning to teach them how to live. And so in the midst of all these rules and regulations and kind of the how-tos of living, It's interesting, it's almost peculiar that God would marry generosity and farming in particular when it comes to caring for the poor. But I love this text because from the very beginning, you see that this was always in God's heart. And it was to always be about the hearts of his followers, that we were always supposed to be not just consumers, but givers. And so God is teaching his people to be generous and mindful and caring towards the poor from the very beginning. Verse 9 and verse 10 again, don't harvest the grain along the edges of your fields and don't pick up what the harvesters drop. Don't strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Why does God instruct the people to do this? Why does he teach them to leave produce behind? I mean, almost at first glance seems wasteful. It almost seems like bad stewardship. But verse 10 tells us why. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. And that's kind of his stamp of approval at the end of that instruction. God actually repeated this command multiple times in the first five books of the Bible, and once again in Leviticus 23, just a few chapters later, and also in Deuteronomy 24. I mean, this was a major part of who God was and what he wanted his people to be about. Don't harvest everything, God said. Don't pick everything. Don't go back and pick up what fell through the cracks or what you missed the first time. Instead, be intentional about leaving those things for the poor and the foreigners among you. As a culture, it's really interesting then because I feel like we've kind of drifted from some of these initial commands. Now we say things, especially in business deals, we say things like, don't leave any money on the table. Or we need to maximize profits or eliminate waste so that we can improve our margins, right? But God, from the very beginning, was calling his people to be different. It wasn't about squeezing every dollar out of the budget. It wasn't about maximizing profits and raising the bottom line. Even way back from the book of Leviticus, God had placed a call upon his people to be generous in a way that is countercultural. And the contextual thing that you need to understand is he's not particularly talking about how to run a business right now. So I'm not inviting you to be like lackadaisical with your finances or to be poor stewards. But clearly from the onset, God is telling us to be different. That his wisdom when it comes to finances is a bit different than what you would call maybe conventional wisdom. You see, we need margin in our lives. We need margin when it comes to finances so that when something like the one-day offering comes up, that we are poised and ready to give. This has always been in God's heart. It's always been part of our calling and how we follow Jesus. So then when it comes to your finances, when it comes to what you produce, what your income is, or what your storehouses look like, so to speak, I think the encouragement for us all, the calling for us all then, is to be intentional. To be intentional with everything that you have, to be intentional with what you have towards the poor, to intentionally create margin in your life and in your finances, because your pocketbook and your checkbook and your financial portfolio is not all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about your security or simply adding a couple zeros to the end of your bank account or your crypto account or your financial package. God has given you a field. God has given all of us fields. Some of our fields are bigger than others. Some of us had better years than others. And some of our storehouses are quite full, or at least full enough. But when it comes to what we have and how we live and how we're planning, from day one, God has always called us to be intentional. If you remember the text, giving to the poor, it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't an afterthought for the Israelites. It might look like they left the edges and we could mistakenly believe that then it was just an afterthought or they were giving the leftovers to the poor, but they were intentional from the very beginning. Any farmer would know the day you plant is also the day that you plan. And so they were aware ahead of time what they were going to harvest for themselves and what they were going to leave in the margins for others. This was the way they lived life from the very beginning. They were aware that their storehouses were going to be filled, but maybe not overflowing or to capacity, because they wanted to leave margin in their life financially to care for others. And some of us in this church and in this room or online, we've cultivated this lifestyle for years. Every year you make a budget, you make a plan, you set aside your tithes and offerings to the church, and then you plan for extra gifts around holidays or around one day or whatever it is whenever you encounter a need. And our church and our community is different because of your generosity. Our city has felt the impact of your generosity, and I thank you for that. Still, others in this room are learning this lifestyle. You might be brand new to generosity. You might be afraid to give to a church because you don't know where it's going to go. Or maybe you've been burned in the past. Or maybe you're just new to Christianity. You had no idea that generosity was part of the expression of our faith and love and obedience to God. I get and I understand all of those reasons. But I want to encourage all of us in this room and everyone watching at home, whether you're a longtime giver or you're brand new to generosity, to embrace the intentionality behind this text and to embrace the intentionality when you are aware of the poor among you. Maybe even to embrace what can feel like a financial stretch when you give like you've never given before. Because every time you give, it is a reflection of your obedience to Christ. It is an outpouring of love to God and to the world. And so for us at this church and anyone who will listen online, I'm inviting you this week to be intentional with one day. When it comes to caring for the poor, I don't think there's a better organization than Convoy of Hope. Less than 8% of their donations go to overhead, meaning over 92% go immediately into program funding. That's incredible. They're listed by Forbes as a top 100 charity, and for 18 years in a row, Charity Navigator, who's kind of like the watchdog on nonprofits, investigating their efficiency and transparency and validity and all these different metrics, for 18 years in a row, they've gotten the top award on financial integrity. Convoy of Hope takes the dollars that we give, and they have a way of leveraging and maximizing them in a way that we could not do on our own. The financial integrity and power is amazing, but their stories of real life transformation are even better. So I have a video that I want to watch this morning so that we can catch a glimpse of it. One life among many. One life among many of what happens when we partner with Convoy. Let's watch this short story from the life of Violetta.
Yo solo estudié hasta primero.
I only studied to the seventh grade. I was just surviving, living day by day. I used to sell fruits and vegetables on the street. I would start very early in the morning and come back late. And yet, that was not enough to provide for my children. We didn't have any money at all to do anything. We couldn't pay our rent and moved around a lot. Once we lived in a small room with no kitchen and we didn't have any food. I remember having to say to our two kids, please forgive us. We don't have anything for you to eat this night. We promise that tomorrow we will work as hard as we can, even if we need to pick up garbage in the streets, so that we can make money to provide for your food. Our son Jose, he is such a kind and sweet kid. He hugged us. He told us, "Don't worry, Mama. I'm going to help us find something to eat." It was a very sad moment and very painful. I felt useless. I just wanted to disappear. I felt like my heart was going to break. I was asking God, "Where are you? Do you even exist? Why is this happening to me?" All of this was closing my mind and preventing me from dreaming. If only I had known what was about to happen.
El momento de que llegó Convoy.
When I found out about Convoy of Hope, I started going to their trainings and I learned so many new things. Through their agricultural program, they helped me start a business raising chickens. I learned how to feed them, how to vaccinate them, how to care for them when they are cold. It is a lot of hard work.
Mi hijo José ama los pollos.
My son José loves the chickens and is always helping me take care of them. I also learned all the different ways I could sell them to make money, including making chicken soup for extra income. It started small, but now continues to grow. Through Convoy of Hope, I learned that I am useful and that I have value. My self-esteem has improved a lot. I can provide for my kids and I am happy now. If I hadn't met Convoy of Hope, I would still be moving from place to place and still looking every day for food to feed my kids. Tears come to my eyes. This has become such a blessing to me. I never thought I would continue my studies, but right now I am finishing my education. Before, I didn't have any dreams. I didn't even know what a dream was. Now I dream big, that my kids will go to school and graduate, about growing my company.
Gracias, Convoy, por haber llegado.
Thank you, Convoy of Hope, for coming into my life, for taking the blindfold off my eyes and showing me how to dream.
I love her story. I love her story for so many reasons. In that video, you saw how God has completely transformed her life, her ability to dream and provide for her family. But I love the picture of how Convoy comes alongside folks and individuals and families in need to truly empower them, to lift them up and to provide for them a way to start small businesses and help them to begin providing for their own family long term. That video is such a picture of some of their intentional work with the poor all around the world. They work in so many different countries, and I can get caught up in all of their stories of international work, but I have to say they also love the local church and they love working in local communities as well. In the last year, alongside Convoy of Hope, our church here at the Vineyard, we've hosted two community events in our building and in our parking lot where we handed out groceries, diapers, household items, socks, and shoes to anyone in need. Many of you served alongside of us at those events. We collectively served over 500 families from our community alone in times of need as part of Convoy's vision to serve 100 million meals to those in need last year. And this coming December, we're hosting again our annual Winter Wonderland Christmas extravaganza. And this has been an amazing part of our partnership with Convoy and others in our community. This year, we're hoping to serve 1,000 people from Fort Collins at this event with free haircuts, winter gear, groceries, Christmas presents, a gospel message prayer, incredible amounts of fun, and an invitation to be a part of our local church community. I put a link to Terry's email in the sermon notes or on the announcements at votrweekly.org. She's in charge of organizing all of the volunteers from our church. And there's so many different ways that you can serve at this upcoming event. You'll hear more about this and how you can serve and how you can give and how you can support this event in the coming weeks. But we are once again excited to partner with Convoy, not just internationally, but locally as well. And I also wanted to take some time this morning to share with you and give you an update about everything that's happening in our partnership with Convoy of Hope in the country of Zimbabwe. You might remember that about a year ago, our church made a long-term commitment with Convoy of Hope to work in the country of Zimbabwe because this was a country where they wanted to start some pioneering work, but they needed some resources. They needed some financial resources to start those initiatives and begin the fight against the cycle and generational poverty that you saw in Zimbabwe. Right now, there are roughly 9 million people starving in Zimbabwe. And when you add a lack of clean and safe drinking water, skyrocketing inflation, and literal plagues of locusts that are wiping out farmlands, it's no wonder that Convoy of Hope had pegged Zimbabwe as a country they wanted to do some work in. So alongside a few other partners, our church and a few other partners contributed. We raised some additional funds so that we could be some of the first folks to partner with Convoy of Hope in the country of Zimbabwe. And I got an update about 2 months ago, and I've been sitting on the information until today as part of our one, which, if you know me, is incredibly difficult for me not to share all of those secrets. Initially, we started by providing 99,000 nutritional meals to those in need, a big catalytic push at the beginning. We're now preparing and the day will come soon where we see all of the initiatives, the Women's Empowerment Program, Children's Feeding Program, and Ag Business Program all up to speed, all of which you'll hear more about next week. But other than the 99,000 meals, it gets even bigger and even better than that. A short while ago, I found out that we were feeding 2,000 kids every single day in Zimbabwe. Our generosity in our church. And we've partnered with Convoy and another church to fund a church plant in one of the provinces where we're doing work. We've dug our first water well to provide clean and safe water. And Convoy of Hope even recently received a 10-acre plot of land donated to them by the mayor of Bulawayo, where we're working. Isn't that incredible? All of this is happening within the last 12 months. The favor that we are experiencing in Zimbabwe is unbelievable. It's unbelievable what God is doing. Kirk Noonan, who's the vice president of Convoy Nation and member of this church, has told me that our collective work in Zimbabwe is some of the best stuff that he's been a part of since joining Convoy of Hope's team. You look at that and you look about how that all stemmed from a team on the ground in Zimbabwe ready to start this work and pioneer this work, matched with the generosity of a few hundred people stateside, and you can see what God can do with willing and generous hearts paired with people who are hungry for the gospel. And so here again is what I'm inviting you to do. I'm inviting you to be intentional with one day. In the next week, pick a day and work for the poorest of the poor. Whatever you would typically earn in one day's wage, bring that as an offering to God next week, and we'll pool all of our gifts together. We'll write one big check, giving 100% of your mission offering away to Convoy of Hope. If you're retired and you're living on a fixed income, I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to look at whatever you're living on, whether that's a pension or retirement plans or Social Security. If you're a student or unemployed, I'm inviting you as well. Because we can never let generosity slip from who we are, and we can never let generosity not be what we're about. It's what we're called to as the body of Christ, and we need to cultivate it within our lives and within our hearts over time. Because when we collectively come together, no matter how big or how small your gift is, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We're truly joining God's mission in the transformation of all things. We have a chart to help you find your one day's wage. Most of us work about 240 days a year, and so this is displayed behind me, as well as our TVs out in the lobby on a wall that we're affectionately now calling our cause wall. And we will occasionally update those slides to continue to communicate how your gifts to this church are impacting communities locally and internationally. But just to be clear and fully transparent, this gift, we're asking that this gift to one day be above and beyond your normal giving, because we still have regular operations to run here at the local church level. And we're asking you to go above and beyond your normal giving, to be intentional with the poor in the world. And so if you give online, you can use the Convoy drop-down button. And everything that you give that way will go directly to this Convoy of Hope offering. If you give via check or envelope, just use the memo line, write Convoy on it, or just write on the envelope Convoy of Hope. And then, like I said, we'll pool all of those offerings together. We will not take a single penny from your missions giving, and we'll give it 100% away to Convoy of Hope. And I always find this time of year incredibly exciting, because I have no idea how much we're going to give. I really don't. 2 years ago, we gave about $60,000. Last year, we gave $85,000. I am still waiting for the day we break six figures, right? And that will be something to celebrate together when it happens. My personal hope, though, above all else, is that we see about 150 to 200 different giving units, individuals or families that are supporting this cause. And I won't limit your generosity. I mean, some of you, right, you feel the unction. You're going to give 2 days' wage or 1 week's wage. But this is just your cause. You've been intentional all year long preparing for this offering. And you know me, I won't limit your generosity. But I do commit to you that we'll give 100% of it away. And so as I close, I want you to consider two things. First, if you call our church your home and you've never given before, then I want you to start with Convoy. I want to invite you to start with Convoy. I know there are a lot of reasons why people don't give to local churches. Like I said, maybe you've been burned in the past, or you don't trust where it's going, or maybe you've never been asked. And I, as the pastor of this church, would love to be a part of redeeming some of those poor experiences for you. And I'm willing to earn your trust by giving 100% of your first offering away to Convoy of Hope. Because generosity is, it's part of our discipleship, and it's part of who we are as followers of Christ. Second, I want you to consider sharing this message with others and what we're doing in this church with Convoy of Hope. People do not need to go to this church to give to this cause. Last year, we had thousands of dollars come in from family members who don't go to this church, who live in different cities and parts of the world. We had thousands of dollars come in from friends and coworkers as well, because people, they actually do want to make a difference. They want to give to something that counts. And so consider sharing this message with others and help disciple them in their own generosity as well. Direct them to our online giving, direct them to the drop-down button that says Convoy of Hope, and we commit to giving all of their offering away. I'm going to play one last video this morning, and I want to use it as our reflection time. Usually at the Vineyard, after every message, we just sit quietly and pray and reflect on everything that we've just heard. And this Sunday, I'm going to invite you to allow the video to be your reflection time. And so as you watch, prayerfully consider how you might participate in our one-day offering this year. After the video is over, I'll be back up to lead us into a time of ministry and response alongside the worship team. But as part of our reflection, let's watch this.